Guys can take your Bibles tonight. You go to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 2. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on something very simple but very fundamental, and that's to listen, to remember, and to obey. To listen, to remember, and to obey. And those three things are, like I said, very simple but very important. Because at the core, our ability to listen, to remember, and to obey controls our ability to do the word. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of" who? God. And all four of those first verses deal with listening. Listening. With your ear. Right? Verse 1 says, if you will receive my words. Right? That's to listen. Verse 2, if you incline thine ear unto wisdom. That's to listen. If you criest after knowledge. Verse 4, if you seekest her as silver, to look for it is to listen, to allow it to be received, right? All deal with listening. If we seek out the wisdom of God, then that's to listen. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's God who gives the wisdom. Right? It's God who gives the wisdom. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And a buckler is a shield, right? A buckler is a shield. He is a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment, and he preserves the way of his saints. Right? So God, in giving his wisdom, which we receive by listening, he keeps our paths. He guards them. That's what it is to keep, to guard, and preserves the way of his saints. Our way will be preserved. The things that we do, the directions that we take, if they are in line with the wisdom of God, will be preserved. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Every good path. The end result is that we understand every good path, right? But it starts with listening. It starts with inclining our ear to God. So let's look at a record of a man who listened, and that's Noah. Noah, go to Genesis 6, verse 13. Genesis 6, verse 13. It all starts with listening. We have to receive the word somehow. We listen to it. Genesis 6:13, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Okay? So God gives instructions to Noah to build the ark. What would the consequences be if he did not listen to God? Devastating. the end of all life would be the consequences of, I'm busy today. I'm too tired to do this ark thing. Or just simply, nah, I don't really feel like it. I don't believe you. I got better things to do. Right? But he instead listened. Verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth will die. But with thee I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Noah's like, wait a second. You didn't say anything about gathering all this stuff. You just told me to build a boat. I ain't got time for all this stuff. Now, verse 22 says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so Noah obeyed, right? Noah obeyed. He listened and he carried out the instructions. And chapter 7, verse 5 says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. He was 500 years old before that when it all started. So Noah could have said, I'm really tired. I'm 500 years old. I'll be 40 next year. 500 years old seems like a long time. But he obeyed. Verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. So everything died. Everything was wiped out. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And so they survived because he listened and he obeyed. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And so the consequences were not that everybody died, but that Noah and his family and the animals were all saved. Go to Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. So that's a record of a man who listened to God and he obeyed. And as a result, mankind, literally, he saved the world. Jonah 1, verse 1, we're going to look at a record where someone doesn't obey, chooses not to obey. Jonah 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. Did Jonah hear what God had to say? Yeah, he did. He heard it. He did listen. But instead of obeying, he decided to do something else. I don't want to do that. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go from to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I am going to run away from God. That was his answer. So he did not obey. Verse 14 says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So we know the story. Jonah goes to Tarshish, and on the way, a great storm comes, and there, everybody on the boat is freaking out. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And as we know from the record, Jonah died. Jonah did not listen to God. Or, I mean, he did listen to God. He did not obey God. And the consequences here was he was thrown into the sea and he died. Chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, hey, fishy, fishy, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So God raises Jonah from the dead, and he says, hey, how about you go to Nineveh like I asked you to? Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So this time around, he not only listened, but he obeyed. Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned away from their, were turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And so the people of Nineveh were spared, because this time, Jonah obeyed. This time he obeyed. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 16. So, two very different examples. Two men in boats and different things that happened. One obeyed, one did not. I mean, in the end, Jonah came around. But it took him a while to get there. And he had to die. That stinks. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. It's one thing to listen, but it's another thing to remember. To remember. Verse 93. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, or made me alive. Right? So we need to not only listen, but we need to remember. We need to remember. What good does listening do us if we can't remember it long enough to do anything with it, right? So it's important that we remember. Remember. 103, Psalm 103, verse 17. Imagine if God was like, hey, go build an ark, pitch it within and without. And Noah's like, I think he told me to build an ark. And that was where he stopped. It would have sank. It wouldn't have been pitched within and without. It would have had leaky seams everywhere. And then Noah would have been in trouble. So we have to remember. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to what? Do them. That's the point. That's the point. What's the point of remembering? To do them. To carry them out. And that's the obeying part of all of this, right? To carry them out, to obey. What good does it do to hear the word if you don't remember it to the end that you do it? It's the bridge between listening and obeying. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Another record. Very familiar record. Genesis 2 verse 15. You guys remember good old Adam? Adam was told some things. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, so now he's giving him instruction. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is God's instruction. Did Adam listen to it? He did. He heard it. He listened. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, for I will make a helpmeet for him. So, who did God tell? Adam. Who wasn't there? Eve. That's right. She wasn't there. Verse chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto who? What was she there? Was she there when God said what he said? Yeah. No, she wasn't there. He said unto the woman, you weren't there. Little girl, what's up? Yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't that what God said? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's not exactly what God said. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you what? Touch it. Did he say that? No. Lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So, was the instruction remembered? No, wasn't remembered. It was heard, but it wasn't remembered. Right? Who had to have told Eve what God said? Adam. Was it abundantly clearly communicated to the extent that she remembered? I don't think so. The adversary was able to deceive because it was not remember. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she completely forgot what Adam had told her, and took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And gave also to her husband with her, and he completely forgot about what was said to him, and he did eat. Okay, so the instruction was not remembered. It was changed, and then ultimately, it led to disobedience. Because it was forgotten. Because it was forgotten. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And these are the consequences, the greatest consequences in the history of mankind. All because Adam and Eve could not listen to the extent that they obeyed, or could not remember to the extent that they obeyed, that they carried it out. Right? So it's one thing to listen, it's another to remember. And the point of remembering is so that we can obey. Go to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. And so in the end, these are very fundamental things. We have to be able to listen, to seek out God and His wisdom, but then we have to be able to hold on to it and remember it so that ultimately we can obey it and do it. First Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child, Samuel, he was a child. He was a child. Children can listen, remember, and obey. And the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision or revelation. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax or grow dim, that he could not see. And ere before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." So God calls out to Samuel audibly, so that Samuel answers, "Here I am." And he runs to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Right? So this is like your kid coming into your room every night. "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Verse 7, now Samuel did not know yet know. He did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He didn't know what he was hearing. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Oh, I get it now. It's God talking to you. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Right? So did Samuel listen? Yes. Did he obey? Yes. He went and he lay down. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant what? Heareth." And that's exactly what Eli told him to say. He remembered. He didn't go back to bed and was like, "I'm going to have waffles for breakfast. Waffles sound good." He remembered what Eli told him. And he did it. He obeyed. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So he was with him. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So he listened and he obeyed, right? He knew what to do, and he obeyed, just like that guy. He did what he was told. He carried it out. He listened, he remembered long enough to carry it out and to obey. Go to Proverbs 4, verse 5. So the adversary wants nothing more than to distract us, right? His best weapon is to distract us from hearing the word at all. Because if you don't hear it, you don't consume it, you don't listen to it, you don't read it, you don't take it in, it's no good to you at all. Because you never even receive it. But even if you do listen to it, his next job is to try to distract you enough to not remember it, right? To get you to question it like you did with Eve, to get you to second guess it and to not hold on to it. And the reason for that is either way, it stunts you from carrying it out, which is the obedience part. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Right? So that's to receive it, to listen. And don't forget it. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. God's words. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee or guard thee. Right? We kind of looked at that similar verses earlier in Proverbs 2. Right? If we do these things, then we'll be preserved. We will be guarded. We will be kept. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. That's not like your school principal. It's not like it's a principal thing. It's the principal thing. Principal means the most important. Literally, that's what the definition is. So wisdom is the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom. I like that verse. It's funny. Wisdom is the most important thing. That's why you should get it. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Right? Wisdom is the most important thing. And if it's the most important thing, then that's what we should want to hear, want to remember, and want to carry out, is God's word. With all thy getting, we will get understanding. Right? So we want to listen, remember, and obey God's word. Because that's the wisdom. That's the wisdom. We should get it. We're going to close in Acts 5, verse 17. One last record. Acts 5, verse 17. So remember, the adversary is always out there to try to get you. And he does it in so many ways. That's the subtlety of the adversary. Whether it's getting you to concentrate on something else, to put that thing more important. Whether it's to get you fearful about something, to get you to worry more about that thing. Whether it's to, you know, if you're not feeling your best or you're sick, to get you to concentrate on that so that you're not concentrating on the word. Or whether it's just to start receiving all this other contrary information and wondering, well, maybe that's truth. Maybe that's correct. Maybe this isn't right. You know, he's got all kinds of different angles that he attacks with, but it's all the same attack, right? It's all to get us not to do these things, to listen, to remember, and to obey. Acts 5:17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation or jealousy, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Rounded up the apostles and put them in the prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What was his instruction? Get out. And go back to where you were preaching before and speak, right? The reason they were put into prison was because they were preaching God's word. But the angel said, go back to it. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They did what they were told. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. So they didn't know they had busted out overnight. So they were like, oh, go bring those apostles we rounded up yesterday. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we shut with all safety. We really did lock it up. We swear. Promise. And the keepers standing without before the doors. They were still outside. But when we had opened it, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They couldn't even imagine how big this was going to get. Right? Because these guys just vanished. Which means that verse 19, when the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth, they escaped without anybody even seeing them when they were, the doors were shut and the guards were still standing there. So they're like, this is going to be crazy. Verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple. And guess what? They're teaching the people. They're doing that thing again. Then went in the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. This time they were very gentle with them, very kind to them, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. They didn't want a riot on their hands. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Didn't you hear us yesterday right before we threw you into prison? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey who? God rather than who? Men. And so that's it. That's all that mattered to them. That they were supposed to obey God rather than men. They had literally just been thrown into prison. And God got them out. And they went right back to doing what God asked them to do. They could have been shook. They could have been like, thank God we are out of here. We don't want to go mess with those guys again. But they did exactly what God asked them to do. And their response was, we ought to obey God rather than men. And if that's our attitude to the word, that he will preserve and take care of us too, just like he did the apostles.